Welcome, welcome.
You must have been vaccinated with a phonograph needle.
It's not supposed to make that noise.
Look, a song is a song. You either dig it or you don't.
I hope this doesn't go on my permanent record.
Yes, sir. It brings back a lot of memories.
And just for the record,
I guess the only thing we can do is play you a song.
We stand witness to the awesome power of radio.
Your plastic pal who's fun to be with.
And for all of you out there, this is your song.
That always the way. You're having yourself a nice sunshiny day, and then suddenly, wham, bam, thunder and lightning.
Uh-oh.
And
just like that,
everything oldies is new again. Hey, everybody, it's Scott Edward Phelps, and welcome to 45 RPM, 60 minutes of saluting.
I have a feeling this is going to be just delicious.
Thank you. We'll see what we can do. The historic and sublime speed of sounds, 45 revolutions per minute. And the vinyl where those memories were mastered, the 45 single. That's Shy Coltrane and her hit from 1972, 73. It was the only hit she ever had.
That's okay.
I asked her about it when I phone interviewed her back in the early 2000s. And that's what this episode is all about. It's the one with the ones from the ones that I've talked to. Hit songs and or well-known songs that you may or may not be familiar with. By artists that I've had the privilege to speak with or work with in one way or another through the years. Shy was born in Wisconsin. She had a Canadian mom and a German violinist father. She was performing by the age of 12. And at 20, she fronted a funk and blues band called Chicago Coltrane. Now, fast forward 2 years, a solo contract with Columbia Records and her first album. And that single, Thunder and Lightning, all the way up to number 17. She made top 20. Her very first time out. How about that?
It's radical!
That's what I'm saying. She followed it up with 5 albums, but she never had another American hit. Now, she did have some success in Europe, and she is officially a member of the 45 RPM Oh Yeah Club.
What the hell's that?
I say Shy Coltrane. People say,
huh?
I play this.
Thunder and lightning. Oh, hey,
And they say,
oh, yeah.
I never met Bobby Hart, one half of the songwriting team of Tommy Boyce and Bobby Hart. I did get to know Tommy Boyce in his final years. He lived in Nashville, as did I, and I was working a night job as a night manager at Tower Records there in the Vanderbilt University area. Tommy used to wander in, hang out at the counter, talk about records and recordings and showbiz. He was not well in the last years of his life. Most often he was drunk, but he was very pleasant, witty, very funny, and a very fond memory of that time is the night that he came in asking if I had a copy of a certain Paul Revere and the Raiders cassette. I said no, we were out of stock on that. He said, can you get it for me? It seemed very important that he get the tape. I explained I couldn't just make it happen, but I'd be happy to special order it for him and get it for him as soon as I could. He said, okay, great, I'll be right back. And out the front door he went. Now this is like 11:40 at night. We close at midnight. I thought, well, he's going home, and that's the end of that. I'll go ahead and order the tape. 10 minutes later, here he comes back in the front door with a small paper bag in his hand. Now, I had actually found a copy of the cassette while he was gone. I was going to put it aside for him. He comes up, and he says, did you get the tape? And I laughed, and I said, well, yeah, turns out I did. Here you go. He says, great, this is for you. Thanks very much. I said, dude, I don't need a gift. Just pay for the tape. We're, you know, it's what we do. No, I want you to have this, man. I appreciate your effort and all that. I said, all right. So I just took the bag and stuck it under the counter. He paid for the tape. He went on his way. I took the tape home. Later that night, when I got home, I pulled the contents of the bag. It was a plexi photograph frame. And in the photograph frame was a black and white glossy picture, autographed by each of the people in the picture, taken in a booth at the Palomino Club in Los Angeles in the 1960s. Tommy Boyce, Bobby Hart, Mark Lindsay of Paul Revere and the Raiders, and Jerry Lee Lewis.
Whoa.
Tommy Boyce had given me this priceless keepsake photograph just by way of saying thanks for me getting him a tape.
That's the loveliest thing I've ever heard.
Well, along with all the hit songs that they wrote for the Monkees and Paul Revere and the Raiders and Jay and the Americans, the Rolling Stone Encyclopedia of Rock and Roll lists over 300 songs with sales of over 42 million. Boyce and Hart, as a recording act, had a couple of hits on their own. One, their biggest hit, I Wonder What She's Doing Tonight. And this little ditty about their favorite girlfriend, Boyce and Hart, at 45 RPM.
You're still my favorite girlfriend, Alice Long. And I don't forget about you when you're gone. Even though right now you feel you don't belong. You're still my favorite girlfriend, Alice Long. We both agreed not to get hung up, to talk things over as they come up. So if you think we don't see each other enough, then let's talk it over. When we're together, nothing can keep us apart. But if I ever forget the color, you start to wonder whether you're still a part of my heart. Can't you see? Can't you see? Oh, you're still my favorite girlfriend, Alice Long. But you can't hold on to love by holding on.
Hi, this is Jim Yester from the Association, and you're listening to Scott Edward Felt.
One music journalist in the 60s actually referred to these guys as an American sunshine pop band from California. They were so much more than that. These guys were all actually folkies who started out working at folk places like the Troubadour in L.A., along with other soon-to-be pop rock stars like Mama Cass Elliott and David Crosby. And the name, The Association, a long-thought-out, clever reference to banding together to make great music to move the masses? Lead singer Terry Kirkman's girlfriend came up with it. And Jim Yester? Well, he was the brother of Jerry Yester, who was once a member of A Lovin' Spoonful.
45 RPM.
Wow, that was groovy.
He was quiet when he spoke. It was soft-spoken, an easy, relaxed southern drawl. He had Willie Nelson-style braids, and he wore work shirts and blue jeans. And when I met him to interview him for a music magazine article, he struck me as the kind of guy you might first think had just come down off the combine and walked across the field to sit down and do a little jawing by the creek. Well, books by their cover and all that. He was a poet, and he was a damn fine songwriter, and he was a sincerely nice man who died way too soon of a heart attack the day after his 60th birthday. But his talent? Yeah, man, it remains. Paul Davis at 45 RPM.
Hello, girl, it's been a while. Guess you'll be glad to know that I've learned how to laugh and smile. Getting over you was slow. They say old lovers can be good friends, but I never thought I'd really see. Just can't hide that old
Satisfies your mind, tells you all of his dreams. I know how much that means to you. I realize that I was blind just when I thought I was over you. I see your face and it just ain't. No, it just ain't true. I go crazy when I look in your eyes. I still go crazy. That old flame comes alive. It starts burning inside, way deep down inside.
Hi, this is Mike Love of the Beach Boys, and you're listening to Scott Edward Phelps.
Beach Boys, and one of those reimagined Beach Boys tunes with the addition of symphony orchestra playing along. You're listening to 45 RPM. I'm Scott Edward Phelps. I talked with Mike Love on the phone a number of years ago as the Beach Boys that existed at the time were coming through to play at the State Fair. He was a pleasant guy on the phone. Not at all the supposed self-serving, crazed egomaniac that he gets blamed for or credit for in the press. But then again, he was doing promotional phone call, and he's been doing it for like 150 years. So. Right?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm going to opt for saying that, yeah, he's a nice guy. And if he's a crazed egomaniac, he covers it nicely. Another member of the Beach Boys entourage through the 70s and 80s and even these days is a fellow who was actually with the marriage of his sister to Carl Wilson a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. A Beach Boy brother-in-law and a guy who guested a couple of times on a talk radio show that I used to host in the early 2000s. These days, he's got his own weekly podcast, Vidcast, a fun thing called Live at Billy's Place, and he surely, now and then, must talk about his days as one-third of a mid-60s teenage girl's dream of a pop trio. From Dino, Desi, and Billy, it's Billy Hinshey and Dino, Desi, and Billy at 45 RPM.
We don't go to their parties. They don't like our kind. They make fun of our owner. We don't pay them no mind. They call us a rebel kind. They call us a rebel kind. They call us a rebel kind. We don't go with their girls. They don't.
PM with Scott Edward Phelps.
I remember him as just a lovely guy and old school polite when I interviewed him. From a hit song about a lemon tree to taking a Pete Seeger folk classic and giving it a Latin rock and roll polish, Trini Lopez at 45 RPM.
Danger, I ring out a warning, yeah.
up, Peter, Paul, and Mary put Bob Dylan on the map, but they did Gordon Lightfoot a royalty check earning solid as well. It's not everybody who can say, hey, this 60s hitmaker slept with my wife and it's all good.
What?
Because, hey, I didn't mind at all.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Huh.
And if you think Roy Orbison could make those hairs on the back of your neck stand up.
Yes, indeed.
Just wait till you hear what happens when he adds in a little Canadian to the mix. All of that and more when the one with the ones from the ones that I've talked to returns.
All over this
land.
Yeah. A lot of great music to be found when 45 RPM continues.
Hey, guys, check this out.
We have much to do and less time to do it in.
I suggest you do it again.
Here I come to save the day.
I'm not finished yet.
Maybe you should put some shorts on or something.
Don't touch me. Hey, Ray. Hey, Sugar. Tell them who we are.
Well, we're big rock singers. We got golden fingers, and we're loved everywhere we go.
That sounds like us.
We sing about beauty, and we sing about truth at $10,000 a show.
Right.
We take all kind of pills to give us all kind of thrills, but the thrill we never know is the thrill that'll get you when you get your picture on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
Rolling Stone.
Wanna see my picture on the cover.
Stone.
Wanna buy 5 copies for my mother.
Yeah.
Wanna see my smiling face on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
That's a very, very good idea.
I got a freaky old lady named a Cocaine Kitty who embroiders on my jeans. I got my poor old gray-haired daddy driving my limousine.
Now it's all designed to blow our minds, but our minds won't really be blown. Not the blow that'll get you when you get your picture on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
Rolling Stone.
Wanna see our pictures on the cover.
Stone.
Wanna buy 5 copies for our mother.
Yeah.
Wanna see my smiling face on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
Little teenage blue-eyed groupies who do anything we say. We got a genuine Indian guru. He's teaching us a better way. We got all the friends that money can buy, so we never have to be alone. And we keep getting richer, but we can't get our picture on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
Stone.
Wanna see my picture on the cover.
Stone.
Wanna buy 5 copies for my mother.
Stone.
Wanna see my smiling face on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
On the cover of the Rolling
Stone. Wanna see my picture on the cover.
We ain't on the cover, baby.
Wanna buy 5 copies for my mother.
I ain't kidding you. We would make a beautiful
cover of the Rolling Stone.
Right up front, man. I can see it now.
We'd be on the front smiling, man. Oh, beautiful.
Well, go to your dictionary and look up wacky, zany group of musical imps. And you'll probably find a list of the members of Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show, shortened later. Why? I don't know. To Dr. Hook. And their wonderful interpretation of that great Shel Silverstein tune. You're listening to 45 RPM. I'm Scott Edward Phelps, and this is the one with the ones from ones that I've talked to through the years, either interviewing or working in some capacity. I've shared before that my association with Dr. Hook actually was my friendship with Rod Smar, who was their guitarist, and did some demo work with me in the early 1980s. Wow. That was a long time ago.
Well, that's okay.
And I mentioned on another show, but it's worth repeating because it always made me chuckle, that Rod's clever way of introducing himself was to smile and say, R. Smar. on guitar.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you?
I never actually got to meet the rest of the guys or interview any of them, but what the heck? We take our name dropping where it comes. Meanwhile, he knows what he knows, he makes up the rest as he goes, and he be me. Time for the answer, man. Thanks for the emails. Got one here from Ferd from Fernandina Beach who emails in, Dear Scott, is it true that you lived with Roy Orbison? Is it, huh? Really, is it, huh? Well, you know, Fern, you only had to ask the question once. All that repeating just makes me think you're doubting me.
Yeah.
And I don't like to drop names. Actually, I did. I won't go into the story for those who don't know it, except to say that there was a period in the early 1980s that I had the opportunity to live in Roy Orbison's house with his family and do kind of a gopher gig, picking up the kids, mowing the grass. It's all part of the colorful life that is mine.
It booms right along, as you do when you're feeling peppy.
But since he was a boyhood hero, I think my very first makeout session was with a girl in 1964 in the tall grass behind the school to the strains of Oh Pretty Woman.
And who's this Susan when she's at home?
It was certainly an honor and a thrill to be able to say all these years later. Did I mention that I lived with Roy?
It's time to stop!
Yeah, okay. Meanwhile, of all the many great songs that he wrote and recorded in his career, this one always knocked me out from the get-go. And when he redid the song for a movie in the 1980s and brought along the amazing K.D. Lang, well, the results, if it doesn't get you in the last 30 seconds, check your pulse. K.D. Lang, Roy Orbison at 45 RPM.
I was all right for a while. I could smile for a while. Then I saw you last night. You held my hand so tight. When you stopped to say hello, you wished me well. You couldn't tell that I'd been crying over you, crying over you. Then you said so long, left me standing all alone, alone and crying. That I was over you, but it's true, so true. I love you even more than I did before, but darling, what can I do?
Crying, crying.
wonderful opportunity some years ago to talk at length on the phone with Peter Yarrow of Peter, Paul, and Mary. And I was not bashful. I let him know that I had been listening to their work and loving their work since I was a little kid when they first got started back in the early 1960s.
You go way back. That's what we do.
One of the most endearing things about talking to Mr. Yarrow, besides the fact that I was able to find out so much about the career and the behind-the-scenes stuff, was twofold. Number one was that while Peter, Paul, and Mary kind of got Bob Dylan jump-started in the 1960s by recording his songs Blowin' in the Wind and...
What else?
I don't know.
Even in his senior twilight years, Peter was true to the whole 60s thing, because throughout the conversation, instead of referring to me as Buddy or Scott or Hey You, he would refer to me as my brother.
Aww.
Oh, and as far as getting Dylan going, well, Dylan did okay on his own, but he certainly was helped by Peter, Paul, and Mary. And they did a pretty nice favor song-wise, not to mention royalty-wise, for Gordon Lightfoot, who wrote this song, as done by Peter, Paul, and Mary, 45 RPM.
That's what you get for loving me. That's what you get for loving me. Everything you had is gone, as you can see. That's what you get for loving me. I ain't the kind to hang around with any new love that I've found. Moving is my stock and trade, I'm moving on. I won't think of you when I'm gone, so don't you shed a tear for me. I ain't the love you thought I'd be. I got 100 more like you, so don't be blue. I'll have 1,000 before I'm through. Now there you go, you're crying again. Now there you go, you're crying again. But then someday when your poor heart is on the mend, I just might pass this way again. That's what you get for loving me. That's what you get for loving me. Everything you had is gone, as you can see. That's what you get for loving me.
You're listening to 45 RPM with Scott Edward Phelps.
Newsflash, it isn't always about you.
Which can only mean one thing. It's time for Famous People I Know.
Famous people I know.
Right before the break, I sensationalistically and salaciously... How about that?
You want to get to the point, mister. Now, what is it? What are you trying to tell us?
Tease this segment by sharing that a 60s hitmaker had slept with my wife and it was all good. Because I didn't mind at all.
Oh, my!
Well, all right. So here's what happened. I was married to the lady. We got divorced. She started seeing other people. I started seeing other people. You know, life goes on. One of the people that she seed turned out to be Gary Talley, who was the rhythm guitar player and founding member of the Box Tops.
Well, yeah.
Gary and I passed like ships in the night once or twice along the way. And we've exchanged Facebook greetings from time to time. Talented fella, nice guy. P.S. He also moved on. I'm sure it had absolutely nothing to do with her.
It's not you. It's me.
There I go, lying again. No, it was you.
Meanwhile, the Box Tops, who of course hit big with The Letter,
give me a ticket for an aeroplane,
showed their very soulful side with this hit from later in the 60s. Box Tops at 45 RPM.
myself to death for ya, just to show I adore ya. Nothing I wouldn't do for ya, 'cause my love is a river running so deep. Way down inside me it's up so deep, it's too big to hide and it can't be denied. My love is a river running so deep. All I ever am or hope to be depends on your love for me, baby, baby.
Hi, this is Carl G. Marisi of the Buckinghams, and you're listening to Scott Edward Phelps.
Kind of a drag when your baby don't love you. Kind of a drag when you know she's been untrue. Oh, listen, cause you what I've got to say. Girl, I still love you. When you feel like you wanna cry. Oh, girl, even though you made me feel blue, I still love you.
I still love you.
I'll always love you.
I'll always love you.
Anyway.
Marisi and the Buckinghams. I interviewed Carl on a phoner years ago. Very pleasant guy. They're still out there knocking around. Of course, if you're listening to this program in the year 3062, odds are not so much. Beach Boy Carl Wilson's Irish setter was killed by a car. Henry Gross from the hit band Sha-na-na was visiting with Carl and shared that he too had an Irish setter with the same name. Henry was inspired to write a lovely tribute song. Now, fast forward 10 years later, and the whole thing caused a little brouhaha, which brings us to The Little Lights Are Not Twinkling.
The Little Lights Are Not Twinkling.
The song is remembered for being the subject of a tirade by Casey Kasem, American Top 40's host and radio icon, while he was recording his September 1985 show. A listener from Cincinnati had requested the song as one of Casey's long-distance dedications to his own recently deceased dog. Kasem was upset because the producers had put the dedication right after the Pointer Sisters hit Dare Me. Casey considered that a poor lead-in to a sad song, especially one about a dead animal. The following is a literal outtake from Casey's recording of his program. And it's a little bit, what is that, NSFW? Yeah, don't play this at work.
No.
And if you're not clear how to get the machinery to work, just have your kids do it for you. They probably know this stuff backwards and forwards. Check it out.
We're up to our long-distance dedication. And this one is about kids and pets and a situation that we can all understand, whether we have kids or pets or neither. It's from a man in Cincinnati, Ohio, and here's what he writes. Dear Casey, this may seem to be a strange dedication request, but I'm quite sincere, and it'll mean a lot if you play it. Recently, there was a death in our family. He was a little dog named Snuggles, but he was most certainly a part of... Let's start again from coming out of the record. Play the record, okay? Please. See, when you come out of those up-tempo goddamn numbers, man, it's impossible to make those transitions. And then you got to go into somebody dying. You know, they do this to me all the time. I don't know what the hell they do it for, but goddamn it, if we can't come out of a slow record, I don't understand it. Is Don on the phone? Okay, I want a goddamn concerted effort to come out of a record that isn't a fucking up-tempo record every time I do a goddamn death dedication. This is the last goddamn time I want somebody to use his fucking brain to not come out of a goddamn record that is... That's up-tempo, and I gotta talk about a fucking dog dying.
Okay, well...
Emotions notwithstanding, it remains a lovely song. Henry Gross, 45 RPM.
Another day's at end. Mama says she's tired again. No one can even begin to tell her. Hardly know what to say, but maybe it's better that way. If Papa were here, I'm sure he'd tell her.
I forgot to mention that I did do a phone interview with Henry Gross one time. Very talented guy. Very witty guy. Check out his stuff on the Google.
45 RPM. And...
Finally.
It's always a pleasure and a privilege to be able to talk to these people and find out stuff that you wouldn't necessarily have found out otherwise. And it's just entertaining conversation. If I had to mention a favorite, I would say it would be this one. This guy came from an amazing showbiz background, was a very talented fella, and like so many, gone too soon. Andrew Gold at 45 RPM.
Talk to my baby on the telephone. Never would have guessed I could miss someone so bad. Yeah, I really only met about a week ago, but it doesn't seem to matter to my heart. I know that I love her. I'm hoping that I'll never recover, 'cause she's good for me, and it would really make me happy. Never let her slip away. Feel like a kid with a teenage crush on a school day.
On a school day afternoon.
I feel like the leading Romeo and Juliet. Yeah. I really only met about a week ago. I'm hoping that I'll never recover. Yeah, she's good to me, and it would really make me happy to never let her slip away. My lover.
I'm Scott Edward Phelps. Join me next time. There's lots of great music to be found at 45 RPM.
Yeah, she's good for me. I know.
Turn it off, man!
You dudes get lost now, you hear?
We'll catch you next time.
Time to get back to the real world.
And like that...